All right, we're beginning here on the bottom of Ched Amud Bet. The Gemara has concluded at this point that Rochuv, riding on the animal, is koneh only when he is manhig, when he actually kicks it with his foot and causes the animal to move. Simply sitting on the animal is not sufficient grounds to generate a kinyan, but derech manhig it is. That was the Shema Mina. Now the Gemara challenges that two lines from the bottom, Tashma. Shnaim sheyu moshchim begamal, umanegim bechamor. You have two individuals who are pulling a gamal or driving a chamor, or one of them was pulling the animal and one of them is driving the animal. In that way, they are koneh. The Gemara will come back and discuss what that means. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo'olam lo kana, ad sheitei mishicha b'gamal, v'anaga b'chamor. It only works in this particular method, which is, for a gamal, you need to be pulling it, and for a donkey, you need to be driving it. I mean, these are the normal ways to move such animals. The word mechamer by Shabbat, the melachot of Shabbat, is to drive an animal because it comes from the word chamor. That's the normal way to get a chamor to move, is to drive it from behind. As by a gamal, since the animal's too big and you can't control it from behind, you use reins in the front and you pull it. So Behuda says the only vehicle or mechanism for kinyan is if you do it in the normal way that you move such animals. So for a gamal, mishicha will work. For a chamor, michamer will work. What the Tanakhama said is obviously not that, but what exactly they said is not clear. Tani mihat, oshi achad moshech ve'achad manhig. So here it says it's a case of one that either is pulling it or driving it. Moshech u'manhig in. The only two mechanisms for kinyan here are mishicha, pulling it along, manhig, driving it with a stick, in, avarachuv lo. What's not mentioned in the Mishnah here is the possibility of riding on it. So why is that absent from the Mishnah? Tosafot here deals with what even is the Gemara's question of Rachuv missing. How can you be medayik anything out of this? Because not every Braita or Mishnah deals with every circumstance or situation. Why is it so clear to the Gemara that Rachuv is missing or that you can be medayik anything? The end, Tosfot says, Yesh lomar b'mishna yoter kadayik, delarvinu v'litnihu. It says that the Gemara, in a second, is going to ask, why didn't they put together the two cases of manhig and moshech? You could have written them in one shot. Why did the Braita over here separate between them? The Gemara concludes from that, that it must be making a particular list of items that work to the exclusion of rachuv. The Gemara says, that's not the case. Hu adin afilu rachuv. That even rachuv works over here. Va'adak tani moshech u'manhig. So then why does the Braita mention moshech manhig? The fukei midrabi Yehuda. To come to exclude or press against this position of Rabbi Yehuda. Damar, ad shedei mishicha begamal v'anaga bechamor. Because he has very particular ways that the kinyan happens. Kamash malan, tafilu ipchanami kani. That's what it means. The Tanakhama is coming to tell you that Rabbi Yehuda's very narrow view of what works here is not true. We can even do it the other way around. Mar says, according to the Tanakhama, yochi liarvinu v'litnehu, you should mix them together and put them into one shot. Ben begamal ben bechamor. You could have collapsed the whole Braita down into a much more shorthand form, which is you have chamor and gamal should be said, and moshech and manhig be said, and then it would be all types of permutations would have worked over here. Why does it specify that you are pulling the gamal and driving the chamor? Ika chadzad delokani. The Gemara says, you're right, there is, according to the Tanakhama, one mechanism that doesn't work. It doesn't give you what that mechanism is, it's not clear. Rabbi Yehuda is very clear about his position. Rabbi Yehuda believes that a gamal is only ayidei mishicha, and a chamor is only ayidei hanaga, or driving the animal, michamer. On the other hand, the Tanakhama believes that one of those two methodologies is not exclusive. So either by the chamor, mishicha also works, or by the gamal that mechamer, or driving it, works. We don't know which one the Tanakhama says does work and which one doesn't work, but that's we know that one of those two doesn't work, and therefore it split up the scenarios in the Braita in order to tell you that, yes, I disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda is right about one of the two animals, but we don't know which of those two it is. Igadamri, mishicha bechamor, v'igadamri, hanaga begamal. And here it is. The two options are that either mishicha bechamor doesn't work, or that hanaga b'gamal doesn't work. One of those two. Ve'it de motiv mi seifa. And some bring the question from the seifa. The truth is there really a question over here? The Gemara seemingly has a question in Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel's position from before, which said that rochuv is not koneh. Simply sitting on the animal is not sufficient grounds to generate a kinyan, but derech manhig it is. From the Braita, it sounds like rochuv is not koneh. So you could term it as a question, meaning that we're trying to establish whether Rabbi Yehuda's statement from before that rochuv does not work, but derech manhig it is. Whether that's true or not. Or you could just simply say that motiv miseifa is not that they're asking a question, but rather from the seifa they were able to make this determination, which is b'mida zo kana. It says in the Braita, in this way you are kone. Mida zo de mute mai. What does it mean in this way? This way, whenever you use the word zo, it's an exclusive term, which means this way and no other way. So what is it coming to? Lav demute rachuf. Isn't it coming to exclude the case where you're riding it? Lo, demute ipcha. To exclude the case where you flipped it around. Or says, yachi, hainu Rabbi Yehuda. Then the Tanakama looks exactly like Rabbi Yehuda, saying that it only works when you are pulling the kamal or driving the donkey. That's when it works. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. And then what are you adding here? Ikebenayu tzadecha delo kana. The difference between them is one side that doesn't work. Itamri mishicha b'chamor. So again, the same conclusion, but the idea being that there is one mechanism, according to the Tanakhama, that doesn't work. According to Rabbi Yehuda, neither works. It's only with Meshicha Begamal and Hanagah Bechamor. According to the Tanakhama, one of those two is not exclusive methodologies, but we don't know which one, but that's what they argue about. But in either instance, Rechuv is not excluded because of this Braita. Rechuv is not addressed by the Braita. The Braita is really addressing Meshicha and Hanagah, and you can't conclude anything about Rechuv. Tashma, Echad Rechuv Chamor, V'Echad Tafus B'Mosira. Zekana Chamor, V'Zekana Mosira. So you have one guy riding on the donkey, and you have the other guy pulling the reins of the donkey, grabbing the reins of the donkey. The one on the donkey is Koneh the donkey. The one who is pulling the reins is Koneh the reins. He gets the reins themselves. Shvamina Rechuv Koni. From here you would conclude that riding on the donkey is a sufficient means by which you can acquire the donkey. It is a form of kinyan. Because here it says rachuv and you get the donkey. So again, that would be a problem for Rabbi Yehuda before. To explain before that Rabbi Yosef's uncertainty in Shmuel's statement was whether rachuv could be koneh or manhig. And Rabbi Yehuda said rachuv must be the one that is not koneh. And over here we have a braita that says the opposite. Others say based on Rashi's statement over here, Shma mina rachuv koni, Shalo b'makom manhig. That rochuv works when there is no manhig there, then rochuv works. That means or implies that b'makom manhig, that if there was a manhig, they'd split it between them. And then this would be an answer to Rabbi Yosef's question before, which is rochuv b'makom manhig. What is the din? We can answer that question from this braita. But the Shita Mekubetzet brings a list of Rishonim who question that assumption of Rashi as well as the nature of the question. And they feel that the question is more appropriately posed at Rabbi Yehuda, and the conclusion that he brought that Rochuv and Yoshev are synonymous, and therefore we can conclude that Rochuv is not Koneh. And this seems to challenge that by saying that Rochuv is Koneh, not any diuk about Manhig or any conclusion to the question of Rabbi Yosef. Hachanami b'manhig b'raglav. My answer is the same way. The Rochuv here doesn't mean literally just riding on the donkey. It means you are driving the donkey. You're kicking the donkey, so it moves. So that's not just simply sitting on it. That is the equivalent of mechamer. It's the equivalent of driving the donkey. It says, Yochi nikne nami rachuv b'mosera. If that's the case, why doesn't the rider also have an kinyan inside of the mosera? The reason why that happens, or the reason the Gemara thinks now that you're also going to get a kinyan on the donkey, is because the mechanism that you've now used to get the donkey works as a possible mechanism to get the Mosera. That's the way Tosfot learns. Tosfot says, you've now changed the mechanism for Kinyan from Rachuv, which simply means riding on the donkey, to driving the donkey or being Moshech the donkey. You're basically generating a Kinyan Meshicha because now the donkey is moving, which makes it into a Kinyan Meshicha. Now that you have a Kinyan Meshicha, you should be able to then, through that Kinyan Meshicha, also be Koneh the reins that are there. The reins are attached to the donkey. Meshicha should work for the donkey. It should also work for the reins that are attached to this donkey. And that's what Tosfot says. If you think that Rochuv is the mechanism for the Kinyan here, then I understand why he doesn't get a Kinyan on the Mosera. Because a kinyan mosirat ela b'hagba'a o meshicha. You need either to pick it up or you need a meshicha. So in that case, if you're just riding on the donkey, that's not going to generate a kinyan that will help you for the reins. On the other hand, if you now are talking about a kinyan meshicha, because he's driving the donkey, he kicked the donkey and it's moving, that's a kinyan meshicha. And a kinyan meshicha works for the animal, and it also works for the mosirat, it'll work for the reins. So that generates a kinyan that is good for both the donkey and the reins. And that's what the Gemara's question is. When you change from rachuv to manhig, you change from a kinyan that before had nothing relevant to metaltalin to a kinyan now that does have relevance by metaltalin. Rashi says that the mechanism for kinyan here is a tachshit, that the reins are the equivalent of an adornment to the animal, and therefore they're tafel to the animal. So when you acquire the animal now, you should also acquire the reins along with the animal. And so that's what the Gemara says now. Ema, emend the Braita to say this. Zekana chamor v'chatzi mosira. This one acquired the chamor and half the reins. Zekana chatzi mosira. And the other one acquired the other half of the reins. It's somewhat akin to our Mishnah. We have two people grabbing onto something at the same time. They split it. So over here you have the donkey that's hefker along with its reins. So, person who gets on the donkey and kicks it to get it to move, the other guy is grabbing the end of the reins. So as far as the donkey is concerned, the guy who's driving it, who kicked it, is the one who's going to get that. As far as the reins are concerned, he's holding the reins or making a kinyan on the reins from the donkey side. The other party's making a kinyan on the reins from picking them up. So now they both have a kinyan on the reins. So what do? We split it between them. So that's where you should read the Braita. And from this continuation of the Gemara, the Rosh says that the explanation of Tosafot makes more sense. Because Rashi, who says that the Mosera is a Tachshit, would only have the animal acquire that which is actually adorned on the animal itself, not that which extends beyond it. Whereas according to the Tosafot, they're using a Kinyan Meshicha, the Kinyan Meshicha can extend from the animal to acquire as well the Mosera, the reins that are there. And this would be akin to a question, as Tosafot points out, that the Gemara is going to ask later on, but the Meshichat Behema has the ability to also do a Meshicha on the Kelim. On the other hand, for Rashi, who says that it's limited to the adornment on the animal, then what is the Gemara asking here? Oh, he should get the Chamor and half of the Mosera. According to Rashi, there's no reason why the person on the Chamor should have any more rights to the Mosera beyond the animal. The Rashbo and the Ritva both defend Rashi's explanation and say that the continuation of the Gemara is a misunderstanding between the questioner and answer as to what his suggestion was at this point. And that's how the Gemara ends up in the end with Rav Ashi coming back and basically saying that the only kinyan here is for that which is on the animal itself. Gemara says, okay, one second. Bishlamo rochuv kani. The guy who's riding, I understand why he is a kinyan here. Demagbile bendat. Because on the other end of the reins, he has somebody who is functioning to make a kinyan, who is a bar dat, is of sound mind and can make such kinyanim. The one's holding onto the reins, how is he making a kinyan? So, assuming here that the kinyan that is being done by the person who picked it up from the ground is a kinyan hagba, is raising the item from the ground. You can only make a kinyan hagba when you raise an item if you raise the entirety of the item. You have to lift the whole thing. So here he lifts up the reins, he's lifting the reins from one side, but the other side's being held up by the donkey. He's not lifting the other side, so he's only got one side off the ground. So his kinyan agba, in many senses, fails because he hasn't gotten the reins off the ground. On the other hand, the guy on the donkey, if he gets the reins, he has a kinyan on this side of the reins because of either Rashi, a tachshit, or because of a meshicha on this side. Then the other side of the reins, which is picked up by the other party, we're going to say, like we've said until now, Migo de Zachi de Nafshe. Since he picked it up for his own benefit, Zachi Nami Lechabre. He makes a kinyan for his friend as well. So the guy on the donkey has his side of the kinyan, plus the person who picked up the reins, together now, between them, they've now generated a kinyan for the guy on the donkey. The problem is for the guy who is picking up the reins, his side of the kinyan he is completed, but the other side is not being helped by his friend. Because there's no hagba on the other side. The other side is happening is that either it's a tachshit to the donkey or it's a meshicha, neither of which will help him in terms of making a kinyan because the donkey is holding up the other side of the reins. That doesn't do anything for him. So the Gemara says this seems like a kinyan that only works in one direction, not the other. So Ema, the Gemara tries to work with this. It says, Zekana chamor v'kulei mosera. The guy on the donkey now gets the donkey in all the reins. Zekani masha tafas v'yado. The guy who picked up the reins, he gets what's in his hand and no more than that. That's the extent of his kinyan. Hai mai. Wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. Imtim salomar magbia mitziah lechaveiro kana chaveiro. If you say when a person picks up a mitziah on behalf of his friend, it works. Hani milehecha dekam magbalei adata dechavre. That's only if he's picking it up for the benefit of his friend. Hai adata didekam magbalei. The guy who picks up the reins isn't picking up for his buddy. He's only picking it up for himself. He's not trying to get the guy on the donkey, the kinyan, on the Moseira, right? He's actually trying to do the opposite. If he is not successful at generating a kinyan, then he can't help out the guy on the donkey. So there are two different ways that you can generate a kinyan for the other party that we had in yesterday's daf in the discussion about being magbia mitziah. If you pick up something that you find, then if you pick it up on behalf of the other party, then you can generate a kinyan for the other party. On the other hand, if you pick it up for your own benefit, you can generate a kinyan for the other party if you successfully generate a kinyan. But if you don't successfully generate a kinyan, you can't say, oh, your kinyan didn't work, but you helped out the other guy. That's not the case, because you never picked it up with intent for the other individual. You can say, migo dezachi denafshe, zachi lechavre. Since he was successful at generating a kinyan for himself, it automatically generates a kinyan for the other party. That you can say if he's successful at generating the kinyan. But if he's unsuccessful at generating a kinyan, then how can he help out the other party? And that's the Gemara's problem over here. It's the same as the Cheresh and the Pikeach yesterday, where the Cheresh and the Pikeach, we said, well, for the Pikeach, he doesn't have a bar dat on the other side. But for the Cheresh, he's got a Pikeach on the other side. So great, he can have a kinyan. So like yesterday when we said, oh, it can't be that the Cheresh gets a kinyan through the Pikeach, if the Pikeach himself can't get a kinyan. So if the Pikeach can't get a kinyan, he can't help out the Cheresh. It's only if you are successful at helping yourself, can then you help out your friend. But if you're not successful yourself, you can't help out your friend. So here too, if the guy holding the reins is unsuccessful at generating a kinyan for himself, then he can't help the guy on the donkey to generate a kinyan on the Mosera. So that means that there's no kinyan on the Mosera. Although, to be honest, the whole question is somewhat suspect here, because we until now had assumed that the person on the donkey was acquiring the Mosera either through Mishicha, like Tosafot says, according to Rashi, because it is a Tachshit. And if that's the case, then he doesn't even need a Bardat on the other side to help him out, because he's not functioning through a kinyan Hagbah. So either you have to suggest here that the Gemara has gone through a transition and left behind the possibility that the person on the donkey is acquiring through kinyan Mishicha or a kinyan of Tachshit, and he's using kinyan Hagbah similar to the other party, and that's why the Gemara is saying that there's a failure on both sides for a kinyan Hagbah. Or you have to say, like the Ritva and the Rashba suggested before, that these interim stages are misunderstandings in the suggestion of the questioner. And we're eventually now, we're going to get back to Rav Ashi, who's going to bring us back to the original assumption that the only kinyan here is a kinyan on the items that are on the donkey or in the hands of the one who picked up the Mosera. So that's what the Gemara now tries and says, Amar Ashi, Zekana Mechamor Ubeit Pageha. The individual on the donkey is Kone the donkey, and the parts of the reins that are on the donkey, basically the halter that's on the donkey's face, the mouth. And this individual gets what's in his hand. And anything in between, anything between them is basically hefker. Still, they didn't make a kinyan. So whatever the guy picked up on the reins, that he got off the ground. That part of the reins that he got off the ground is a kinyan agbah, and he gets to keep that part. As far as the donkey driver's side, whatever he got that's on the donkey, that's what he gets to keep. That's a takshe, that's meshicha with the donkey. Anything that's after that, he doesn't have any kinyan on. So the reins that sit between the donkey and where he picked the other guy who picked it up, they don't belong to anyone. There's no kinyan on that area of the reins. Rabbi Abahu Amar, Lolam Kidiktani. No, we're going back to the original assumption, which is the original way the Braita was written, which is that one guy gets the chamor, one guy gets the reins. It's a case where the guy who picks up the reins actually can make a kinyan agbah, because he has the ability to pull it towards him. Which means that, for instance, if you have something in your hand, say like a jump rope, and you're holding one end of the jump rope, the other end is on the ground, you could give a quick yank, and the whole jump rope will leave the ground. And since it leaves the ground, now you created or generated a kinyan agbah. So what is being suggested here in the name of Rabbi Abo is that since the guy holding the reins can pull really hard and it'll snap off on the side that's attached to the donkey, then he can generate a kinyan agbah just by holding one end. And that's why he gets control, or that's why he gets a kinyan over here, because he has that ability to do that. Where it says, V'ad Rabbi Abo brutahi. Here there's a difference in the girsaot. You can see the word bruta means like bariyata, which means an outside source. This should be kept outside the Gemara, because it's definitely not the halacha. It doesn't make sense what was said here. And it's a nice way, a euphemistic way for saying this is completely wrong, to say that just keep it on the outside. Or the other option is bedutahi, which means that it's somewhat of a joke, or we can't take it seriously. But it might mean, beduta means that we're saying that somebody said in the name of Rabbi Abo, but he never really said anything like that. They assigned something to his name that didn't make any sense. But either way, the Gemara is rejecting this answer completely. Because if you don't say this, talit, shiyumunechet chetzi al gabi akarka, v'chetzi al gabi amud, if you have a talit, half of which is on the ground, half of which is sitting up on a pillar, u'ba'achad v'gbi'ah chetzi al gabi akarka, one guy picks up the half that's on the ground, u'ba'acher v'gbi'ah chetzi al gabi amud, then another guy comes and picks up the half that's sitting on the pillar up, raised up, hachanami dekama koni, u'ba'acha lo koni. In that case, the first guy should have a full kinyan, and the second guy should have no kinyan. The first guy can take the talit, once he gets it off the ground, he's got one side up. If he yanks it towards him, he'll have the entire talit, or the cloak, off the ground, because he will pull it off the higher location, and then it'll be floating in the air. So he can generate a kinyan agbah from his position. The guy who picks it up off the amud can't do that, because the other half is on the ground. So when he picks up the part that's on the amud and he yanks it, it's not going to change anything. It's going to still be on the ground, the other half. So in that case, what the Gemara says is, if you're right about this idea that lena take, if you can pull it towards you and the item is in the air, that generates a kinyan agbah, then in the case of talit, you should be able to do the same thing. You should be able to pick up the one side that's on the ground, pull it towards you, and now it's floating in the air. That should generate a kinyan agbah. Ho v'yachol lena take la v'yetzlo, and that should generate a kinyan. Tosafot over here says, why is the Gemara so sure that that's not the case? Isn't this exactly the scenario of Rabbi Abo? How do they know that this case is not true? How do they know that Rabbi Abo wouldn't say the same thing in this case? The Gemara takes this as a given that that wouldn't work. But where does the Gemara know that? The Gemara brings no evidence of the fact that this type of kinyan would not work. So Rishonim take different approaches. Some of Rishonim just say, it's Maisim Shebechol Yom. This happens every day and we don't assign a kinyan agbah to it. So that's why it's obvious that it doesn't work. Or the other possibility is they're relying on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Shnayim Okzim B'Talit, two people holding a Talit, that they picked it up together. The Mishnah never differentiates about how or where they picked it up from. Mishnah never says, oh, it's only if they both picked it up from the ground, or if they only picked it up from an Amud together. But if the one picked it up from the ground, one picked it up from the Amud, it wouldn't work. So since the Mishnah is generic and does not distinguish, that's maybe why the Gemara assumes that that would not be the case. Elaha, Rabbi Abo, Brutai. Must be that Rabbi Abo's din is not worthy of mentioning over here because it's not halakhically correct, and that can't be the explanation of the Braita. Tashma, another question about Rachuv. Belezer Omer, Rachuv b'sadeh u'manhig ba'ir kana. If you are riding the donkey in the field, or you are driving the donkey in the city, then you're koneh. So that would indicate that Rachuv b'sadeh is not manhig, because otherwise, why does it mention manhig ba'ir? So that means that Rachuv must simply be riding on the donkey. And again, this would be a problem for Rabbi Yehuda. Al-Khanami manhig b'gralgav. Now he's driving it with his feet. Yochi, hainu manhig. Then why do you separate in the Braita? It says, Rachuv and manhig, they're both types of manhig. Trei gavni manhig, same way that we answered yesterday, which is there are two types of driving. One type of driving is when you're sitting on it, and one type of driving is when you're behind it. Yochi, Rachuv b'ir, my time alokoni. If that's the case, why doesn't Rachuv in the city work? I mean, if you say Rachuv is not just simply riding on the animal, it means to drive the animal, then I don't understand why it doesn't work in the city. And as Tosafot explains, I would understood when you are Rachuv Basadeh that it doesn't work in the city. Tosafot says this, I understand if it wasn't talking about driving with his feet, the kach be'ir lokani. That's why in the city it doesn't work. T'lo azma machmatei. It doesn't go because of him. There are obstacles in the way. There are people talking in the street. And there are things out on the street. So if you're simply just riding on the donkey, that would not be enough to gain you the kinyan here, because simply riding on the donkey's not going to move. The donkey's not going to do anything because there are obstacles in the city. When you're out in the field and you hop on the donkey, it just starts moving. So they, even though you're not driving the donkey, but you're riding on the donkey should be enough to generate a kinyan. In the city, getting onto the donkey does nothing because the donkey's not going to move because there's too many obstacles, there's too many problems in his way. So that's why I would understand why you differentiate between the sadeh and the city. But if you say that it's manhig baraglav, he's kicking it with his foot and driving it, then the donkey driven in the field and driven in the city should make no difference. Because at that point, you can force the donkey to move by kicking it and making it move. And it'll move. Even around the obstacles, it'll go. So that's why now you have to explain to me why there's a difference. Rashi over here notes that umanhig af be'ir kana. Madam Rashi says over here that when we say manhig in the city works, that also works in the sadeh. So if you drive it in the city from behind with a staff, that works. And certainly it would work in the sadeh. It definitely would work in the field. So Rashi sees that as a kosher cane. The reason that manhig works in the city, that's the chiddush, because rechuv doesn't. But then manhig also works in the sadeh. The Rashba, on the other hand, disagrees and says manhig be'ir is dafka. When you drive it in the city, it works because there's a limit to where the donkey can go. And so when you drive it in the city from behind with the staff, you can keep control over it. On the other hand, if you're out in the field and you're hitting the donkey from behind, it could take off and leave you behind. So people would not be manhig in the city, and therefore the manhig in the sadeh, and therefore the Rashba says it's exclusive. Manhig be'ir means in the city and not in the sadeh. So now Gemara wants to know, why doesn't rechuv in the city work? It is not the normal way to sit on the donkey in the city and drive it by kicking it. Rashi says, Mishum tzniuta. It's not tzniuta. It's not a proper way to be. I assume because when you get on the donkey and you ride the donkey, you have to pull up your tunic. You have to split your legs over the donkey. So it's not exactly the most tzniuta fashion to move. Now, Amar le Rav Ashi le Rav Kahana le Miato. Based on your assumption here that if it's not the normal way to do something, it doesn't function as a kinyan, it'd be on a kibbutz Shabbat. A person picks up a money pouch, a wallet on Shabbat. Shane Darkan Shabbat Adam, like, be on a kibbutz Shabbat. People don't normally pick up wallets or money pouches on Shabbat. Now you're going to tell me that doesn't function as a kinyan? Because people don't usually do this. Elamai, davad, davad, vikoni. What's done is done, and he's koneh. So it's over here. It doesn't matter that people don't do this, but the fact is he did do it. And if he did do it, then it functions as a kinyan, just like by anarchy on Shabbat. People don't pick it up. But since he did pick it up, he does successfully generate a kinyan, even though in other places in Shas, there is a machloket as to when you violate a din d'oraita, is your action efficacious? Meaning that does the Torah, when it says you're not allowed to do something, does that mean you're not allowed to do it? But if you do it, you are successful at doing it, you're just in violation of the din of the Torah. Or does the Torah take away your right to take that action? I mean, that the action is not considered to be an action. So that's a machlokin, and we tend to paskin that your action is suspended. You can't take action when the Torah says you may not do such a thing. So the answer here likely is that picking up of an arnaki on Shabbat is probably not an Isur d'oraita, but rather only an Isur d'rabanan. Either because of problems of Mecca chomemkar, or if it's a problem possibly of muksa, but not a problem necessarily of d'oraita. And that's why it may not be subject to that other machloket, but rather just because it's a din d'rabbanan and people don't pick it up. And that's why the question is brought over here. But now we concluded that you can't make such a kinyan in the city. So how do we answer the question? This braita is talking about a case of a transaction. Damalei, kenei, kederach shebnei adam konim. Take possession of this the normal way people take possession of this item. So he specified that the kinyan's got to be a normal kinyan. So if you do something that's unusual, even though technically it should generate a kinyan, in this case, that was not the mechanism that was approved to be a kinyan. And so it won't work. So if people don't usually ride on their donkey and kick it in the city, then you're getting on the donkey and kicking it is not going to generate a kinyan over here. Even though technically it could create a kinyan, over here the seller specified you got to do it in the normal way, and that's not a normal way. V'i reshut rabim hi, if it is the reshut rabim, koni, it works. Reshut rabim is a place where a person will ride on his donkey and drive it because he's afraid to drive it from behind with a staff or even pull it with reins because people get in between them. It's very easy to lose the donkey in that situation. There's too much traffic. The density is too high. So if he leaves space between him and the donkey, there's an easily be cut off between them. And so that's why he'll ride his donkey in the Rishut Rabim. So when we say about the city, you can't ride it to generate a kinyan, that's on the side streets. On the side streets, the normal way to move the donkey is by driving it from behind or pulling it by its reins, not from riding on the donkey itself. People dismount already when they get on the side streets. But they will be mounted when they're on the Rishut Rabim because the other mechanisms for driving the donkey are not as successful because of the traffic that's there. V'i Adam Chashuv Hulkoni. If he is a person of stature who never walks his donkey or never drives his donkey, the only way he gets involved with the donkey is when he's riding on it, then he can even ride on the side streets and that's considered to be normal. V'ishahi Kanyo. If it's a woman, she's also kona by riding on the donkey, even on the side streets, because that's normal, Rashi says, because she can't keep control of the donkey. The donkey might overpower her, and therefore the only way she moves with the donkey is actually riding the donkey, not driving it from behind or pulling it from in front. Also, if it's a person who has no self-respect, and therefore he doesn't worry about sniut, then he also ride his donkey on the side street, and wouldn't matter for him either. So all these become the regular way to make a kinyan for these individuals. So it's only a normal person who is male, then he won't ride his donkey and drive it on the side streets in the city. So in that case, the kinyan would fail. But otherwise, these are good kinyanim because this is the normal way that people interact with their donkey. By Rabbi Lazar, Omer lechaveiro mashuch beimazo liknot kelim sheleha mahu. So here the question is not an easy question. Exactly what the Gemara's question is subject to machloket. But Rashi already clarifies from us, this is a case where he's not making a kinyan on the behemah. The guy says, pull the behemah in order to acquire the utensils that are on top of it. So Rashi says, he's not telling him, take the animal. He's not telling him you're going to make a kinyan on the animal. I simply want you to take the animal, pull it towards you, and then I'll make a kinyan for the kelim that are on the back of the animal. So from Rashi, what's clear is that if he was acquiring the animal through the mishicha, then he, of course, would be kona the kelim that are on top of it. That's number one. The second thing is that Tosfot says that the question here is the problem of a chatzer hamehalechet. We're talking about here that the animal is a moving chatzer. So Tosfot phrases the question a little differently than Rashi. Rashi sees the problem as being, I have a kinyan on a behemah. If I was making a kinyan on the behemah, I would make the kinyan on the kelim, it'd be automatic. But here, I'm not making a kinyan on the behemah. Can I, through the behemah, still make a kinyan on the kelim? That's the question for Rashi. According to Tosafot, the kinyan mishicha on the animal would not work for the kelim because you're not acquiring the animal. And even if you were to acquire the animal through a kinyan mishicha, the question would still exist because the mechanism for getting the kelim is chatzer. It's not acquiring it through the mishicha, but rather through the fact that it's now your chatzer, and your chatzer can act on your behalf. So whether you are koneh the animal through mishicha, or whether he's lending you the animal to be your chatzer, can you acquire the kelim on the back of the animal? Because this is a chatzer hamhalechet. This is a chatzer that moves. And since it's a chatzer that moves, can you generate a kinyan through the mishicha de beima for the kelim? So that's the question that is being asked here according to the Balei Tosafot. The Rashba presents it in a third way, which is the question here is that there are two different types of kinyan mishicha. There's a kinyan mishicha of an animal. The kinyan mishicha of an animal is to get the animal to move, to lift its foot up and move. There's a kinyan mishicha of a kelim. The kinyan mishicha of a kelim is not that you have to lift them off the ground. That's hagbah. Mishicha by kelim means you move them and they drag along the ground. They never leave the ground. So the question is the kinyan mishicha of the behemah, which is a different form of mishicha, work for the kinyan mishicha of the kelim on the back of the animal? Because you're using the same term as the kinyan mishicha of a behemah, which is a different form of kinyan mishicha, can you get a kinyan mishicha on the kelim there, even though you're not doing the kinyan mishicha that would otherwise work for kelim? Them moving is not a kinyan mishicha. It's that you gotta move them along the ground. It's not simply the fact that it's lifted up its leg or it's been driven. That's a kinyan mishicha. An animal by being driven already is a kinyan mishicha. So those are at least three of the different ways to phrase the question here about what the issue is. Mahu, what's the din here? Liknot Mi amar le kane? So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Did he say to the guy, kane, take possession of it? And the problem is that the Gemara's assumption here is the word liknot does not mean to take possession of it, but says liknot. You take possession of it. I'm not giving you a kinyan. You simply take a kinyan. And the Gemara says that type of language doesn't work to generate a kinyan. So the Gemara says, liknot, mi amar le kane. Why would you have a hava mina here that he can make a kinyan if the guy only said the word liknot and not kane? Ela mishoch ve'imazo v'kane kelim shalea mahu. So Gemara rephrases the question and says, the question is about kane. If he says them take possession of it, so he directs them to make a kinyan, does it work? Mi mahanya mishicha de'beim alaknuya kelim. Does the mishicha on the animal succeed at generating a kinyan for the kelim? Olo or not? Now, again, the question according to Rashi means, even though you're not being koneh the animal, does that help you to be koneh the kelim? According to Tosafot, your kinyan on the animal, whether it's being lent to you or whether you're buying it, does that generate a kinyan chatser for the kelim? Or for the Rashba, does the kinyan mishicha, which means to drive the animal, does that work for kelim, which means to drag the items? So, Marava, Iyamarle kinei behema ukinei kelim mikoni kelim. Even if he gave him a kinyan on the behema, why should it work over here? The nature of the question here is that, had you ever get to a stage where he's making a kinyan on the kelim through the behema, but he's not even koneh the behema? Let's take a step back and say, yes, he is koneh the behema. It's a case where he has a kinyan on the behema. In that scenario, it wouldn't work either. Because, Iyamarle kinei behema v'kinei kelim mikoni kelim. Even if he told him to take possession of the behema and the kelim, it wouldn't work. Chatzer malecheti. It's a moving chatzer. And a moving chatzer, chatzer malechet, lo kana. And any moving chatzer is not successful at generating a kinyan chatzer. Chiteima kishamda. Maybe it's when it was stationary. So right, when the animal's moving, it can't be konet. But once it's stationary, maybe you can make a kinyan chatzer. Ba. Kol shilu malech, lo kana. Omid v'yoshev, lo kana. So if you... The din of chatzer malechet is in the following manner, which is anything that, if when it moves, it's not successful at generating a kinyan, then even when it's stationary, it does not generate a kinyan. In other words, that a chatzer malechet, even when it's not moving, is not koneh. An animal is a chatzer that moves, so even in the case where it's stationary, it will not be successful at generating a kinyan chatzer. This, as Rashi points out, throughout Shas, where the Gemara quotes this idea from Rava, this is the source over here. The Gemara here is talking about Rava's statement and Rava's point that a chatzer malechet never works even when it's stationary. And that we learn from here, and that's presented all over Shas, the Shita, in the name of Rava, and it's sourced out of here. It says, v'ilchata b'kafuta. It's a case where he tied it up. It's a case where the animal's tied up. So now it's not a chatzer malechet anymore, because it can't move at all. Once you've tied it up, you've made it into a chatzer that is stationary. The two requirements for a kinyan chatzer are, number one, it's mishtameret. It's a location that is secure. And number two is that it's a chatzer that is stationary. It's an area where you have control over the area and it doesn't move. Something that moves of its own volition, that's no longer a chatzer because you don't have sufficient control over it. And possibly it's not mishtameret. But if you tie the animal up, at that point, you do have control over it again, because the animal's not going anywhere without you. And therefore, if it's placed there, your chatzer can be koneh on your behalf, assuming meaning that it is mishtamer, it is sufficiently secure. So, Amrule Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Breda, Rav Yeshua, the Rava, Elemiata, based on your conclusion, Hayal Melech Bisfina, you were on a boat on the water, Bekavtsu Dagim, Benaflu L'toch HaSfina, and then the fish jump up and they go onto the boat, which is the similar question that you're asking. If you have a wagon that's moving, and then inside the wagon, what's the status of that? So Mar says, Achanami, dechatzer malecheti, velo kani. Based on your description over here, that would be deemed to be a chatzer malechet. That would be the equivalent of a chatzer that is moving, and it should not be koneh. So Amalei, Rava says back to them, Svina minach naichi, umayu dekamamatula. The boat is stationary, and it is the water that is moving the boat. So, whether this is a technical description of what's really happening, and that could be possible when you're talking about river boats, where the boats moved with the current of the river, and the boat itself was not moving, it was the river itself that moved the boat, and when they moved it up river or against the current, they had to use ropes and pull it upstream. So, again, it's not the boat that's moving, it's the river that's moving. or whether this is not a technical description of the physical properties of what's happening, but rather a halachic view about the boat, which is, yes, the boat might move, but in general, we're going to look at the boat as being stationary or fixed object inside the water. Water moves, but the boat itself is an oasis of a chatzer within the water, from a halachic perspective. Obviously, the nafka mina about how you phrase this will have implications about, for instance, today, boats that have motors on them, or sailboats, where the boats are clearly moving, not necessarily the water that is moving them, or in the case of a wagon or other objects that are moving, like a car that is moving, is that a chatzer that can make a kinyan? Because for the passengers inside the car, everything is stationary. For the car, from looking from the outside, the car is moving. So does it generate then a chatzer that is me'alechet, or is that a chatzer that is stationary? Tosafot already asks from other places in Shas. First of all, we saw in the Gemara in Kiddushin, if a Talmud Chacham is riding on a donkey, that there the Gemara says, Yoshev kim'alech dami, that a person who's sitting on a donkey and riding is the equivalent of walking. And therefore, you have to stand up for a Talmud Chacham that's on a donkey, because he's considered as if he's walking then. So you see from that, that sitting on a donkey is not the equivalent of being stationary. It's the equivalent of being moving. It's a mehalechet. So why over here, all of a sudden we say the Sfina is stationary on there, whereas the donkey moving is not considered to be stationary. As well as, Tosafot points out, the Gemara in Shabbat talks about a case where you're moving from reshut to reshut. The Gemara is talking about there, akira and hanacha of an object. Moving the object from one place and then depositing it somewhere else. The Gemara there asks, what happens if you throw something and it lands in the water? The Gemara says, clearly there, that's not a hanacha. What happens if you throw something and it lands in a kli that is floating in the water? An object that's floating in the water, does that generate a hanacha? Because as far as the kli is concerned, it is floating on the water. But the item inside the kli is stationary. So is that considered to be hanacha or not? Basically, it's the same question that we're asking over here. And there the Gemara concluded that it's not stationary. It's considered to be moving. So Tosafot says, with regards to Shabbat, that's less of a question. Because you need melechet ha-mishkan. You have to be compared or similar to the melacha that was done in the mishkan. And since in the mishkan, the anacha was not done in this manner, that's not classified as anacha for Shabbat, even though it might be anacha for kinyan. Then, with regards to the donkey, Tosfot over here separates between the mechanism of chatzer versus the person riding on the donkey. And he says, Afagal de perakam de kdushin amrina tamid chacham rachuv kemaleich tami. Hocha chaser mishum yad it rabbi. The kinyan chaser works because of yad. Va'avi shapir dumya diyad meinach naich umatulay im gufei. Because your hand is considered to be a form of kinyan because it always moves with the body. So too over here, the chaser, it functions like a yad, and since it functions like a yad, it can work to create a kinyan. So here too, with the boat, it's the equivalent of a yad, and it's equivalent of a yad, which moves along with the body, and therefore it's considered or deemed to be a stationary object or a chatzer that can generate a kinyan. Now, first of all, there are those that ask, what about shliach? Doesn't a shliach, when you send somebody as a shliach, don't they move? So how can a shliach be koneh on your behalf? So there the Gemara says, oh well, chatzer is not mishum shlichut, chatzer is mishum yad. Again, that follows the shita of the Tosafot, that chatzer works mishum yad. If you think that chatzer works mishum shlichut, then you have a bigger issue, because then why does the shliach work? You could answer that the difference between an animal that's moving and a shliach that is moving is the question of control, which is an animal moves of its own volition and moves wherever it wants. It doesn't necessarily follow your instructions or do what it's told to do. Therefore, it's atzer malechet, and it doesn't work. Whereas by a shliach that you send, over there, your shliach is a bardat, and if he is really your proxy or your agent, he is going to function based on your instructions. And therefore, that's considered not to be a chatzer malechet, but a controlled chatzer, a chatzer where you control the movement of the chatzer, and that's what would differentiate it. The Rabbi Kiva Eger also over here questions Tosfot's distinction and says the following. He says, Tamoli, dim keim aguf atzma mikrei mahalich, v'amai ma'ani noten get arusha. According to the way the Bali and Tosafot learn over here, that the reason that your hand is considered to be a chatzer is because it's attached to the body. So, Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, I don't understand. If your body is deemed to be moving, any part of your body else should be moving. Why, when you put it into someone's hand, is it considered to be a chatzer melechet? According to Tosafot, your hand doesn't move. It's attached to the body, it doesn't move. Say, El akorchach, the yad va'guf chadu. That the yad and the guf are one. Because it doesn't move away from the person who's making the acquisition. Wherever the person goes, the hand goes with them. And since the hand always goes with them, they are not considered to be a chatzer ha-mehalechet. A chatzer ha-mehalechet is a case where it moves away from you. It doesn't stay with you. So that's exactly the difference here, which is, if you have control over the item, and the item stays with you, according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that's considered to be a chatzer she'enu melechet, even though it's physically moving. So even though the boat is moving, or even though your hand is moving, because you're walking and your hand moves with your body, those aren't considered to be a chatzer melechet because they move in the direction that you want or the direction that you're moving them. On the other hand, the animal does what it wants, and it moves whichever way it wants. So that's why it's a chatzer melechet, because it's not necessarily following you or wherever you go. I mean, that here the case is the animal has the kelim on the back and you're going over to make a kinyan meshicha. So there, is that a chatzer melechet or not? Because you're not moving the donkey wherever you want. You're not in control of the donkey. It's simply a kinyan at that point in time. So here, where the donkey is tied up or the reins are held tight to you and it only goes where you go, maybe over there it might have a different status of chatzer, according to this view of the Rabbi Akiva Eiger. That's the way that the Rishonim deal with why is something considered to be a chatzer melechet and why is a hand not considered to be a chatzer melechet. Tosfot says it's because fingers don't leave the hand doesn't leave the body. Rabbi Akiva Eiger views it less about the physical attachment, but the fact that wherever you go, your hand goes with you. And so therefore that's considered to be control, or enough control, to generate a kinyan yad or a kinyan chatzer. So that has implications about how you explain the case here of Sfina and these other items, whether the object works with you or is working against you or can go against your will. So then the Gemara says, Amarle Ravina the Ravashi Alamiata, based on this, Haitam Aleche Bershuta Rabim, a woman who's walking in the Reshuta Rabim, Vizarak La Get, the Tocheka, her husband throws her a get, the bill of divorce, throws it into her bosom, or the Toch Kalta, or into her basket that's on her head. Hachanami to lo migarsha. Now you're going to tell me she's not migureshet because she is a chatzer me'alechet, she's moving, or the basket on her head is moving with her. Amalei kalta minachnaichi v'yir dekamaskia mituta. That's not a problem because the basket is stationary, but she is moving under it. Her movement is what moves the basket. But the basket vis-a-vis her is not moving, it's stationary. And therefore, it's not considered to be a chatzer me'alechet. Again, this reinforces what the Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, is that the basket goes wherever she goes, because the basket is on her head. And therefore, it moves with her, and that's considered to be a chatzer she'ena me'alechet. For the Tosfot, because it's attached to the body, and therefore it's not separating from the body, that's why it's considered to be a chatzer she'ena me'alechet. But either way, the movement of the woman moves the entire basket with her, and they're not separate entities. And therefore, it's considered to be a chatzer she'ena me'alechet, because either of its attachment to the woman, or the fact that it moves wherever the woman goes, it goes with her. Guy's riding on a donkey, and he sees an object on the ground. Says to his friends, Tnali, pick it up for me. Pick up that mitzia for me. The guy picks it up. Says, I picked it up, but I kept it for myself. He's going to have for himself. The guy on the donkey doesn't have any right of kinyan over here. He didn't pick it up. He only instructed someone to pick it up for him. But the other guy goes and says, I didn't act as your agent, but I acted on my own behalf. Then he gets to keep it because he's the one who made a kinyan on it. If after he already gave it to the guy riding on the donkey, Amar ani zachiti batchila, I really took possession of it first, give it back to me, lo amar klum. It's not meaningful what he says. Rashi explains why over here. Because he says, "Dafilu amrina," and I'm going to be a mitzia lechaviro lo kana chaviro. That even if you believe that if someone picks up a mitzia for his friend, it doesn't work as a kinyan. Kevin ziavile ni kinyanya mimanafshach. Once you give it to the other party, he's koneh no matter what. Ikanya kama. If the first guy was successful at generating a kinyan, and he didn't intend to pick it up for his friend. Meantime, now he handed it to his friend. It means that he gifted it to his friend. And so even if he had made a kinyan at first for himself, by giving it over to his friend, he's now generated a matanah or kinyan to give it over to that party. Or if you say the first guy wasn't successful at picking it up, not for himself, not for the party he was picking it up, then it remains hefker. Once it reaches the hand of the guy on the donkey, he's getting a kinyan on it from hefker. So what Rashi notes is, mimon of shach, once it gets into his possession, you're done. Because once it's in his possession, either the first guy was successful at generating a kinyan for himself, and now he gave it as a gift to him because he handed it over to him, or the first guy was unsuccessful at making a kinyan, and when he hands it to the guy on the donkey, that generates the kinyan from the hefker to the guy on the donkey. The person on the donkey instructed him to pick up the item for him. So now, when he goes and picks it up, if he only had it in mind for the guy on the donkey, if a person's unable to make a kinyan on behalf of his friend, then his kinyan is unsuccessful for the guy on the donkey, but it's also unsuccessful for himself because he never intended for himself. So therefore, it still remains hefker until it reaches the guy on the donkey, and then he makes the kinyan. So Rashi says, once it's in his hand, mimon of shach, he's got possession of it. So that's why you can't come afterwards and say, ah, I really took it for myself. Because then, even if he did take it for himself, at this point, he granted it as a gift to the other party, and we're done. Tanan, we have a Mishnah in Peyah. Mishili keiteta Peyah. Person who collected Peyah. Vamar ezo leploni ani. I'm collecting on behalf of so-and-so, this poor person. Rebbelezer Meir Zachalo. Rebbelezer says you're successful at acquiring on his behalf. You have to give it to the first ani that you bump into. Rashi notes over here, we have to be talking about a third party that's coming and collecting in the field, not the owner of the field. Because there is a restriction against the owner of the field collecting his own payah. And so because of that, he can't be the acquiring party over here. And the truth is, even if you disagree with Rashi halakhically, which most Rishonim do, nevertheless, in terms of our sugya, Rashi is correct. That we're talking about a third party and not the owner, because later on, we're going to see in the Gemara that whoever picked it up has to, does it through one migo and not two migos. If it's the owner, you would need two migos. I'll explain that in 1 second. On the other hand, there are other Rishonim who believe that if the owner picked it up, the same din would be true over here. And if you look in the Yerushalmi, as these Rishonim note, then you can see that the Yerushalmi actually creates the case of the owner doing it. And that's where the Machloket Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is, not in this scenario here. But at least for the Bavli right now, it favors Rashi's interpretation, if not halakhically, at least in the explanation of the Gemara, it's clear that it's not the owner picking it up. Halakhically, Rashi says the owner can't do it at all, that he's mufka, versus many of the other Rishonim will believe that the owner could pick it up on behalf of the ani, and it wouldn't be any different. Similarly, the machloket between them is, what is the restriction of the owner taking the payah? Is the restriction for the owner taking the payah that it has to be distinct from that which is in the field? Or is it the fact that whether he is an ani or not an ani? Is he considered to be a poor person or not a poor person? So that would have to do with the timing. Meaning that, is the restriction against the owner determined by the moment that the payah is given? At the moment, you have to distinguish between his ownership of the field and the payah that's given, that's why he's precluded. Or is he precluded because the fact that he owns a field automatically makes it that he doesn't have a right to the payah because he's not an ani in this context because he owns the field. Even though he might be poor, but his field over here, vis-a-vis this payah, makes him rich. Those problems, according to some of the Rishonim, can be overcome. If you believe that the problem is simply that he's not an ani, then later on he can make himself into an ani, he can relinquish control of his field, make himself an ani, and then he would be able to collect the payah, according to those Rishonim. According to Rashi, it seems like the determination is that the moment he gives the payah, the moment he gives the payah, you have to distinguish between your field and the payah. That's what precludes him from getting or access to the payah, and that remains. Doesn't matter if he becomes an ani later on. It all has to do at the moment that you separate out the payah, you need to distinguish between them. That's one way that Kilat Yaakov explains the machloket here between Rashi and the other Rishonim. He has another version, and there are other Achronim also explain this machloket between Rashi and the other Rishonim about whether an owner can take his own payah or not, or is it plausible for an owner to take his payah. They explain this machloket between Rashi and the other Rishonim in different ways. So now the Gemara says, so Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, machloket mim ashir li ani. The machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is if a wealthy individual picks it up on behalf of an ani. So the wealthy individual is not entitled to the payah, But he's acting on behalf of an ani to go pick it up for this ani. The Rebbe Eliezer Savar Migo, we say this, the following. Since this wealthy individual could relinquish control over all of his possessions and make himself poor, and therefore he would be entitled to take the payah, Hashanami Chazilei, so do now, even though he hasn't done that yet, but the possibility that he could do it gives him a right to make a kinyan on it. Number one. Umiga de Zachin and Afshe, Zachin Amnu Chavrei. And since he can acquire on his own behalf, he can acquire it on behalf of an Ani. So according to Rabbi Les, you have two Migos here. The two Migos are, since, number one, you have the capacity to make yourself into an Ani and grant yourself the right to make a kinyan, that's the first Migo, that gives you the right to pick up the payah. The second Migo is, since you could acquire it for yourself, you can acquire it on behalf of the Ani. Rabbanan Savre, Chad Migo Amrinan, Tre Migo Lo Amrinan. Rabbanan believed we say one Migo, one since, not two since. So, in the case where he is an Ani, which is the case of Al Mi'ani, the Ani, if a poor person picks it up on behalf of another poor person, Divrei HaKol, Zachalo, everybody says it works, because over there you only need to invoke one Migo, which is Migo de Zachin and Afshe, Zachin Am Lechabre. Since the Ani could have picked it up for his own purposes, or for himself, so then he goes, therefore he can also pick it up on behalf of his friend, the Ani. Where even the Chachamim agree, because there's only one Migo needed there. The Ani is already entitled to take it. His entitlement to take it, also then we can say, since he's entitled to take it for himself, he's entitled to take it for someone else, and that's the only Migo you need to invoke. The Chachamim agree by one Migo. So I'm of Nachman the Ulo, of Mar, Mi Ani La Ani Machloket. Why are you so sure that from Ani to Ani is not a Machloket? Why do you say it is a Machloket? Now, the way that Tosfot says, then you would say that the machloket here would be about tofes the balchov makom shechav de'achayrim. Are you allowed to be tofes for a person that's indebted when it causes detriment to other parties? So, can you grab something to the detriment of other parties? That's exactly what the question is here with regards to the payah. All the aniyim are entitled to the payah. When you grab the payah on behalf of one ani, you're doing something for his benefit, but to the detriment of all the other aniyim. Does that work or does it not work? So why not suggest that's the machloket here between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer, which is that by even when an Ani picks it up, we're not certain that he can pick it up on behalf of another Ani because he's doing that to the detriment of other parties. So when we say Zochen Shal Adam Shalob B'Fanav, you can be Zochen for someone even though he's not there because it's a merit for him. That's only true when it's just a merit for him and has no detrimental impact on anybody else. Over here, where it also has a detrimental impact on other parties, maybe that doesn't work. That's Tofes the Baal Chov, Shemakom Lechav De'achirim. That could be the Machloket over here. That's what Rav Nachman is suggesting. Da Mitzia D'chol Aniyim Etzla, our Mishnah. When it comes to Mitzia, everybody's on a level playing field. Everybody's considered to be quote-unquote an Ani, because anybody who picks it up keeps the Mitzia. The equivalent by Peya of the Aniyim vis-a-vis Peya. It's not a Yerucheva Gabi Beima, our Mishnah. The Ra'ata Mitzia, and he sees the Mitzia. The Amar Lechaviro, it's Nali. And he says to his friend, pick it up for me. That's La, he picks it up, Amar, Ani Zachiti Ba. I took it for myself. Zocha Ba, it works. Iyamar Bishlama Mi Ani Le Ani Machloket. If you say from one Ani, picking up on behalf of another Ani is a Machloket, Matnitin, our Mishnah Mani. Who's the author of our Mishnah? The Rabbonon he. It would be the Rabbonon. Which is that, our Mishnah, as the Rashi explains over here, that the ratio of the Mishnah tells you that that in the case where he is zoche, we say migo, but seifa shmina deichad lo zochi be'ihu migo di bay zochi lo amrinan. That in the case where he's not zoche, we don't say that you can have the migo, and therefore the Reisha tells us deichad zochi be. If he actually makes a kinyan and successfully makes a kinyan, then we say migo, the migo that since he acquired it for himself, he acquires it for the other party, and the seifa teaches us. Where he did not acquire it, then we don't say Migo that he could have acquired for himself, therefore he acquires it for the other party. Because the Ibai Zochi we don't say, we don't invoke that principle of Migo. That would be like the Chachamim, who would say that even when an Ani picks it up for another Ani, he's not successful because since he didn't acquire it for himself, he didn't acquire it for the other party. It's only because he could have acquired it for himself that he would acquire it for another party. The other Chachamim don't invoke that principle of Migo. They only say once he does acquire it for himself, then he successfully acquires it for someone else, but not in the potential. So therefore, the Rabbanan would be the authors of our Mishnah. because we have such an opinion that says only if you actually gain a kinyan does it work. But with that kinyan, we don't say it's since you could have gotten a kinyan, it works. And then that would explain who the authors of our Mishnah are. But according to you, who's the author of our Mishnah? Yomar Bashir v'ani machloket aval me'ani l'ani divrei hakol zachah. If you believe like you, Ula, that the machloket is only when an Ashir picks it up for ani, but when it's an ani for ani, everybody thinks that you're zochelo. Hamani, who's the author of our Mishnah? Lo Rabbanan v'lo Rabbi Eliezer. Neither of them are the author of Mishnah, because they say from an ani to ani, you always say migo. And that means that once he's zoche for himself, he's automatically zoche for the other party. Amalei, Zula responds and says, Matznitin damar tchila. Our Mishnah is a case where he says that I picked it up. When I picked it up, I originally thought for myself. Our Mishnah is a case of tchila, where the guy took the kinyan and says, I made the kinyan up front. Meaning that I already made the kinyan. Before I ever picked it up for you, I picked it up for myself. And so if that's the case, then he's making a kinyan for himself. And we don't say the kinyan is amigo that he took it for himself. He's doing it for the other party because he picked it up solely for himself up front. And that's what it means, tchila. I originally picked it up without having you in mind at all. Then only afterwards did I say, oh yeah, I'll pick it up for you. But my original kinyan supersedes because it was there beforehand. But in Achanami, had I picked it up for the other party originally, without trying to make a kinyan himself, it would have worked, because then, migo, that you could have been zocha for yourself, you are zocha for your friend, and that's the divrei hakol, that's even according to the chachamim. Achanami mistabra, it makes sense to explain the Mishnah in this case, which he's saying that I picked it up for my own purposes before I picked it up for you, so that means that he supersedes the kinyan of the other party, because he says, I picked it up for myself first. When I picked it up for myself first, I'm done. The kinyan was mine. So diktani seifa, because it makes a lot of sense to explain it that way, because the seifa of the mission says, imishanatnalo, once he gave it to the other party, amar ani zachiti batchila. I actually had a kinyan on it from the beginning. Lo amar klum, he did nothing. Tchila b'seifa lomali. Why do you need the word tchila in the seifa? Pshita, of course the case is, Afgav de Lomar Tchila. Even though he didn't say Tchila, Tchila Kamar. It's embedded in the situation. Because, by definition, once he's given it to the other party, he's saying that I acquired it for myself before I gave it to you. So Tchila is an obvious outcome of the Seifa, otherwise he has no claim over here. So if you say that the word Tchila just simply means I picked it up for myself before I gave it to you, then that would be obvious. Otherwise, the guy has no claim over here. So the tchila here must mean, tchila means that I acquired it originally for myself. Not that I acquired it before I gave it to you, but rather I acquired it from the beginning for my own purposes. Elav HaKamash Balan is coming to teach us Reisha Damar Tchila. And that's what's going on in the Reisha, that he basically says, I picked it up in the beginning for myself. V'idach, and how is Rav Nachman going to deal with that tchila in the Mishnah? Tana Seifa, the Gluya Reisha. No, it wrote in the Seifa to tell you the Seifa case is a case of Tchila. But the Reisha case is not a case of Tchila. Seifa Damar Tchila. Reisha Lo Amar Tchila. The Reisha case is not a case where he said Tchila. And therefore, the Reisha case is a case where he picked it up on behalf of both parties. And you say, Mido the Zachi, the Nafshe, Zachi, the Chabre. And since he acquired it for himself, he is successful at acquiring it for his friend. And that's why, according to Rav Nachman, the Reisha has to be authored by someone who believes that we don't invoke this principle of Migo. So in the scenario of our Mishnah, where everybody's classified as Aniyim, and the individual picks it up for himself, so in that case, who is the person that says that it doesn't successfully picked up for the other party? So if you say that he picked it up for himself originally, then fine, I understand the scenario, and that's Ula's claim. Ula's claim is that he picked it up originally for himself, and that's why he has a kinyan on it. But had he waited and said after he already picked it up, oh, I really picked it up for myself, that wouldn't work. Because when he picked it up, he intended for the other party. And migo de zachi anafshe, zachi de chavre. Since he could have acquired it for himself, he automatically acquires it for his friend if he makes no statement to the contrary. And that's why it would belong to his friend. So that's why the scenario in the Mishnah must be tchila, that he originally took it for himself, and that's why he doesn't have to give it up. Because he says, the only kinyan I made was a kinyan for myself. And so that's how Ula will explain the Mishnah. And Ula will then continue to believe that the Chachamim agreed that Migu de Zachi and Afshi Zachi de Chabre, if he picks it up without stating anything otherwise, and he was doing it on behalf of the other party, it would work, because since he could do a kinyan, he creates a kinyan for someone else. And that succeeds over here, and that's even according to the Rabbanan. Rabbanan, Rabbi Eliezer, everybody agrees to that. The only place they disagree is when a party who's not empowered to be Zoche, can he, through amigo, make himself empowered to be Zoche, then to be Zoche of another party? Rabbi Eliezer says yes, because we say tre migos. And the Rabbanan say no, we don't say two migos. On the other hand, Rabbi Nachman believes that Chamim and Rabbi Eliezer argue in migo de Zachi and Afshe Zachi de Chabre, whether you can successfully acquire it for someone else. And so therefore, the Mishnah is the Rabbanan. The case of the Mishnah is a case where the guy picks it up, and he picked it up on behalf of his friend. Doesn't work, because you can't do it. That's why when he says, that's mine, I didn't pick it up for you, he can keep it, because his first kinyan on behalf of his friend was not successful. And that's like the shita of the Chachamim that say that Migo de Zachi de Nafshe lo Zachi de Chavre, and it's not successful doing, because they argue even by Anani, because they don't say this, or they don't invoke this principle of Migo. And that's why, first of all, our Mishnah is a case where the guy gets to keep it. And number two is, that's why in the case of Peah, they're arguing both by an Ani who picks it up for Ani, or an Ashir who picks it up for Ani, because we don't invoke Migo at all. But then he will explain the Mishnah as a case where he didn't originally pick it up for himself, but rather he picked it up on behalf of his friend, but it's not successful. That's why he gets to keep it. Whereas in the latter case, is a case where even if he did pick it up for himself, and he handed it to his friend, the friend now has it Mimono Shuk, like Rashi described in the Mishnah. Because either he was unsuccessful up front, and now his friend is acquiring it, or even if he was successful up front, and he said, it's mine up front, now he already gifted it to the guy, and he's lost control over it, and that's why he wouldn't get it. So that's the explanation of the Mishnah according to Rav Nachman, and according to Ula. Hey, we're going to stop here, 10 lines down, on the top of Yud Amud Aleph.